Hello, hello! Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno here with my Pod Bless Texas co-star and friend.
Co-star? We're gonna be stars!
Kendall Scudder.
Hi, how are you?
At the Temporary World Headquarters at my luxurious apartment next to the star.
I certainly feel like a star here.
Yeah, right.
How was your week, Lillian Salerno?
You know, I've had a couple of bad weeks. It'll get better, though, when the elections are over. No, just stuff. Just life, you know. But, yeah, we're just hoping these candidates can get over the finish line and take us all with them.
You always know when Lillian's lying to you or hiding information because the tone of her voice changes and she suddenly starts talking about Collin County or all these candidates.
They're so good. I'm not lying.
It sounds like you're distracting now.
I'm distracted. I'm distracted. But I'm happy about our podcast today because we have these wonderful candidates.
Who do we have?
We have
the Angies. It's an Angie Palooza.
Angie Palooza. Oh my God, I just thought about, remember that famous detective woman with blonde hair? Her name was Angela. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote?
No, gosh, now it's going to bug me. There was a very attractive detective woman with blonde hair that was Angela something.
And I'm hearing Angela Lansbury.
No, that was Murder, She Wrote. Okay, I got to go back. Anyway. That's neither of these candidates remind me of her, but the name. Angela, it's an Angelapalooza. I like that. And we have Angela Brewer from House District 64, which is up in Denton County. And we have Angie Beto of House District 70, which is right north of me in McKinney.
Yeah, they're districts really close together. These, you know, DFW, and we really try to not be so DFW-centric, guys, but,
so
I mean, so many of the contested elections are in DFW right now.
I mean, really, in some ways, the rest of Texas doesn't matter for
wow.
some. I meant not for the national races, but for taking back
that's
the state
a,
house
That's
races.
A lot for somebody to say who just launched a PAC that slogan was
represent Texas.
Run candidates everywhere yes. in Texas.
I'm saying for this piece, we launched the PAC because we got to do better, bigger, always. But for this race, 10 of those top 17 races are in the North Texas area.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. Yeah. Like this area, this area.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So
they're one of those top races in the top nine, which are the ones that Beto ran or won. Angela Brewer running up in Denton. That's another mm-hmm. college campus candidate we
She's
have
great
there.
Candidate.
And then Angie Beto's district's a little bit interesting. You know, it's not in that top tier. However,
I think she's got a real shot.
A lot of people think she's got a real shot simply because, you know, the way that Collin County is changing with Lulu Cycli running for Congress there, Sharon Hirsch, Lorenzo Sanchez, the whole county is shifting quite a bit. And her opponent's one of those empowered Texans guys that always underperform.
Right.
And so people are looking at that district as one that may be a sleeper.
You know, I literally can't tell you who her opponent is, and I'm embarrassed.
Scott Sanford.
Oh, I have seen a couple of his
He is one of those people that sit in silence. You don't hear much from him, but he is an empowered Texans funded candidate. He's not great. He's just not one of the loud, obnoxious ones.
You know, if you're not going to be loud, obnoxious, why do you want to be in the Texas legislature?
Be loud.
Be loud. Be counted. Be real.
That's good. Be loud, be kind of be real. Is that your personal
yeah,
mantra?
Not really.
Keeping it real. Keeping it 100.
Keeping it real. But Angie Beto has a lot of signs out, which, you know, I base everything on that. I think that's great. No, she does have just great
Lynn
signs.
And I are very always at each other's throats over this fucking sign thing.
People care about signs.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that they matter.
News. Yeah, put some budget in your goddamn signs. Stop
God
being so weird. Give some money to the sign people.
Or don't.
The Republicans, they beat us. Why?
Because of the signs. That's it.
Because they have all the money and the signs.
Why didn't we think about that years ago? If we had just put more money in signs.
Did you know that when I tried to put some of our candidates' signs in my window here, and, you know, I practically run this place because I was the third or the fourth person that moved into this place. I'm going to go with fourth just to be,
okay.
be cautious.
You're being real conservative today.
I got tagged. They said I couldn't put stuff in my window.
So they noticed it?
I didn't notice it. Someone noticed it and told the management here. And I, of course,
How would they really notice that you're so high up in the school?
Because that's why the view is good. So Lulu's likely probably somebody who didn't like that I was a Democrat up here. So now I feel like I'm being targeted. I wrote him a little letter. I'm still going to put him back up, but I like my little manager here. I don't want to cause him any pain, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just wait till the last 5 days, but I took him down just to make his life better, but he's like, can you please?
Wow.
I know, but can you believe someone saw the sign, got to them? I believe it was the police.
They can't hear you when you whisper.
I believe it was sort of the internal police in Frisco.
Oh.
There's an internal police that likes to keep Republicans in power, and they're monitoring me.
So Lillian's had a great couple weeks, guys.
Yeah, really losing it.
We're going to talk about conspiracy theories a little later.
Okay. What about you? What have you been doing this week?
You know,
we launched our pack, and it was great.
That wasn't this week. That was like a month ago.
Okay.
But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Did an event. We have a special episode in everybody's podcast store right now because we did the event
for the judges,
Amy Clark Mancio and Gisella Triana. So that was a ton of fun.
Did we get like 1 million listeners when we did with Scott Braddock on Saturday?
Yeah, 67.
70 million, but that was fun, man.
That was nice a long episode, but it was
nice
all good
talking
info.
To a real journalist, not like us.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a respected member of the journalism community these days.
What do you have to... I mean, in some ways, Donald Trump thinks he's a journalist, really. Right? So, I mean, what's the qualifications to be a journalist?
Well, to who? To Donald Trump, it's agree with Donald Trump.
Right. I mean, I'm going for the press pass.
Go for it. I can't wait.
Tell me what you've been doing this week. You've been going to school?
I'm in grad school, so I'm dealing with that. And then went to the Jill Biden event this week. That was fun, and helping all these candidates. I mean, I'm drinking through a fire hose, having a hard time keeping my head on my plate. Did a town hall with Bill Brannon and Carolyn Salter out in East Texas.
Just imagine if you got paid for your work.
Wouldn't that be great? Maybe one day I'll be able to, like, pay a bill.
Yeah, I know. But you know what?
You know what?
I'm glad you're doing it.
I actually do have some not political exciting news.
Hmm.
I paid off all my credit card debt.
You did?
I did.
Good.
It's been an ongoing struggle since, you know, when you run for office, you end up with a bunch of credit card debt. It's not necessarily campaign expenses. It's that you're spending.
Living.
Yeah, it's living your life and not working. And like, and so you end up with a bunch of credit card debt. I finally paid it all off. So that's a big...
So all you have really is your student loan debt.
I don't want to put my business out there.
But I mean, the young person has student.
Yeah, I definitely have. Yeah. I have about four. Well, you know, I'm back in grad school, so that's just going up. I'm not paying any of that off.
There's always a lottery, my friend.
Yeah,
you may win it.
Any scholarships out there? Let me know. But yeah, I've still
got. No, the scholarships go to the PAC. Then they go to you.
That's very fair.
Do whatever.
So I've got my student loans. Just, you know, it's already crippling. I just might as well add whatever we can on top of it. Who cares?
I just have a feeling someone may come in and just write those off. I really do. I think there's a huge.
I'm hoping that, maybe Joe Biden will just be like, you know what? We're just going to forget it. And I'm going to be like, great, because I took all of it.
I took all of it, yeah.
So anyways, that was a big mile marker for me today, or this week. I was very proud of myself for that.
I'm on the Joe Biden, not necessarily forgiving it all, although, I mean, I'd be fine with that, but I am taking it away from banks and putting it under the federal government piece, because the federal government can administer loans and does a good job, and will keep them down on interest rate and work out. I will offer up my services to turn that into a government program that will be better for students and better for the government and recovery rates. So.
Well, I mean, I've always, look, I know that there is a faction of folks that think that the government should just forgive all of them. I've never been that person. I have a mountain of student loan debt that I think I should have to pay every penny of it back.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to get fucked over on my interest rates.
Right.
Like I make these, the interest rates are so bad that it's like, I'm never going to pay this off. And
when I went to the SMU Law School, I had $90,000 in loans. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to pay that off. But you do. I mean,
we'll
Lord,
see.
Yeah, I mean, you do and you will, but I mean, but that was before they started turning it over to criminal people that are your loan people.
If the bank, I'm just saying, if banks could borrow money during the crisis at 0.2% interest, I don't know why students can't.
And so why are we talking about these adult subjects? Let's talk about something fun.
Yeah, let's talk about Amy Coney Barrett. That'd be fun.
You know, I haven't hated her outfits this week.
She's going to be in
if you want to know the truth, my friends that are lawyers and professors, I'm on all these emails and I just can't keep up, like on the technical piece of what she's saying and what that means. And I've just been going and judging everything about her on her fashion sense. And I know that's very female and terrible, but that's all I got, man. I got about 5 minutes. And so, yes, I'm worried. But I don't think there's anything I can do about it.
2 years ago, Lillian, that was your number one complaint about when you ran for office.
So now I am one of them.
You have become the very thing you hate.
It happens to us all.
I've always hated myself.
Oh, anyway, great week. How many days till the next?
When I was in high school, sorry, I know you're changing subjects. When I was in high school, I had this teacher. I don't want to say her name because she's like still teaching at the school. And she was the UI.
Think she listens to this?
No, but you know, she said something mean to me and I don't want to put her on blast about it. But she, whenever I was in high school, I did like this extemp speaking. I did all the UIL stuff and I was pretty good at it.
I bet you were Mr. UIL.
I was really good at UIL mm-hmm. stuff. And she was one of my UIL coaches. And she told me one day, she said, "You know what, Kendall? If you ever had to meet yourself, you would hate you."
I love that. Oh my God, that is so good.
She was one of those like Republicans that would always fight with me when I was like Mr. Democrat in high school and we would just spar all the time. But she wasn't very well informed. She was one of those just like, "I'm a Republican because I'm a Republican."
Yeah. No reason, don't need to give
it. And like when I tried to talk to her about things like gay marriage, like she didn't know I had two moms. Like we didn't openly talk about it all the time. And so like I tried to talk to her about gay marriage and she would like pretend like she was throwing up as her argument. Blah, blah. Like a good argument.
To, like, to you were
to like a high school kid. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like she didn't know I had two moms, but like that was her argument. Like you'd
gagging.
Like you'd be like, "Well, here are the ring," and she's about, "Oh, it just makes me want to throw up. It's disgusting." Blah, blah. And she's real brilliant.
How
people.
Mature.
Yeah. And she's wow. like a 60. I mean, she's, I'm be surprised if she's still teaching. She's probably retired at this point. At the time, she was in her late 60s.
And she would say that. Wow, that's not cool. Yeah.
Sorry. Anyways.
Sorry that happened to you. I hope it's not happening to a young man in East Texas today.
You know, it's 2020. Surely it's not.
Sure. All right. Well, we've had a busy week. We only have 17 days left till this election. And I just propositioned a young man on the phone. What did I tell him? It's so many bad, inappropriate things today. A young man called to see if
you just propositioned a young man on the phone.
You were here when I
How
said
young?
It. I don't know. He just called to ask if I wanted to sell
you didn't,
my property.
You didn't ask his age?
No, he called to ask if I want to sell my property. I have a house that I raise my kids in Louisville. And he said, "What would I take for to buy the house?"
$1 million.
And I said, "If you can guarantee me that Donald Trump will lose the presidency, you can have the house."
I can guarantee it right now.
And he said,
"Can I have the house?"
What kind of deal? He's like, "No, I don't know how to do that," but he thought I was quite entertaining. All right.
A lot of people who don't take us seriously think we're very entertaining.
You really can't take us seriously. Well, we're excited to have the Angelas on today, and they're both great candidates, so make sure you give money to them.
Is Angie Beto's name Angela Beto, or is it? Oh, surely it is. It's like Angie is probably.
I don't think anybody just comes out of the womb being called Angie. Do you?
Oh, we'll deal with that later.
Check with our researchers.
We'll check with one of our chief Angie correspondents.
But before we have the Angies on, we have to, as always, hit the headlines. Texas breaks early voting records. Woo! Texas breaks.
Is that? That's a short headline. All right.
Who wrote it? I don't know.
Over a million people have already voted in the state of Texas. What do you make of that, Lillian? Because my view of it is probably not the same as yours.
I know. You are a pessimist. I'm an optimist. Yeah. I think that that means that people have taken to heart what Michelle Obama told everyone, which is make a voting plan, get to vote. This is the most important election. Get out there. Combined with the millions of calls that Beto O'Rourke and the great team over there, millions of phone calls to people. And I think those folks are showing up. And I know what you're going to say. They're showing up now and they're not going to come on election day. I think there will be still an amazing turnout on election day.
I think that we will have increased voter turnout in Texas. That is not what I'm saying at all. But, you know, I do wonder, how much of it is new people that are showing up to vote and how much of it is people that were going to vote anyways, that are just, you know, doing it sooner because they are desperate to just get out there and vote.
I'll be anxious to see what it looks like on, like, Sundays. Like, Sunday's an early voting day, like 11 to 4? I don't know. I should know that. We should make sure.
I think every county has the ability to set those themselves.
Okay, anyway. So. Get out there. Let's see what the people that think Sunday's a big deal do.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there will be much greater turnout at this cycle than there ever has been, which is awesome. I just hope that it holds, that this is consistent, and that we take advantage of having this extra week of early voting. You know?
And don't you know the Republican analyst who put this together that allowed us to get this extra week?
The one mistake they've ever made.
Woo! They have run the tables on voting in Texas for, I don't know, 25 years, and they made a crucial error on this one. They fought the mail-in ballot and gave us this, and I think it's going to be to their detriment.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I know you're worried, but the people that were in my line with me were all people that aren't normally in the line.
But that's the thing. For all the people that were in my line were too. The question is, you know, are those people that would have just voted on election day?
No, they weren't going to vote at all.
Okay.
They weren't going to vote at all.
I sure hope so, man.
Okay, all right. So you wrote, early voting is open until October 30th, so go to mytexasvotes.com and find your nearest polling location. Oh, I thought there was something about a cornfield here. Because it's before Halloween. Oh, I just remembered that. Go to your nearest cornfield.
Next headline.
Amy Coney Barrett doesn't know your First Amendment rights.
What cornfields have to do with Halloween?
No, like go to the, isn't there like scary movies where you go into a cornfield?
Like Children of the Corn?
Yeah, there you go. It's all part of it.
So Amy Coney Barrett is up for her confirmation. That has been express passed this week.
Talk about fast.
Even Senator Mike Lee, who has coronavirus, took the time to show up.
Would that guy not fucking shut up?
And still didn't wear a mask.
He didn't.
You literally tested positive for coronavirus.
That guy, I feel like I've heard more from that guy than I did my father the entire time I was growing up. I mean, he talked nonstop for 2 days.
I wish they'd all talk a lot more and just delay this shit.
But I don't understand why we have an express pass for this, and yet we have a COVID relief package. Millions of people out of work, millions of people being evicted, landlords suffering because they can't evict, the CDC telling landlords they can't evict. There's property owners, there's tenants, there's jobs, and this is what we're focused on. And there will be no relief package before this election, which means we'll be till February. People will be suffering. Unbelievable. Take back the Senate.
Well, I mean,
What? You think this should go before that? You think Amy Coney Barrett?
No. I mean, I was about to say the exact opposite of that. What I was going to say is that I'm, as per usual, okay, look, I'm just going to level with you.
All right.
I have absolutely.
Wait for the hate mail.
I have absolutely no confidence in Chuck Schumer. None. No.
Me neither. When someone runs against him, I'll be working on it.
I don't understand. Like, if AOC primary challenges, I'll probably come in for AOC, which is weird for me because I'm not that wing of the party, but I just don't care. I have no confidence in Chuck Schumer. And so here
strategic.
We are right now fighting in the Senate. Literally, they should do everything they can. I'm talking drive your cars up the steps and block the fucking doors. You should do some abductions of these people and store them in your basement for the next month. I'm talking it should be
in the town.
There is literally nothing more important in their careers than blocking this nomination. And so, like, if you've got to do a little jail time, you need to do a little jail time.
I would do jail time immediately.
I am saying if there are no rules for you to go through, if you need to do a parliamentary inquiry that takes 30 days to get through it by hand reciting and rewriting the rule book, then that's what you need to be doing. I am just very frustrated with how fast it's going because we are, again, watching Democratic leadership in the Senate
be the pussies that they are.
I mean, I know that they're bound by the rule books, but
Do they have when do we
stop being the only people that play by the rules?
Do not play by the rules. Do not. That's what I'm so worried about people in Texas, too. When we take back the state house, we're going to continue and act like we have to play by the rules. The rules have made it that we have the worst education system, number 49 out of 50, the worst health care. Stop playing by the rules.
The rules have literally been written for us to lose. Yes. And you are just playing with them. Like, I don't know what you want me to do, guys. It says, it's clearly stated in the rules.
I seriously...
All Democrats must lose arguments.
I seriously think the Democrats would be better off hiring Ted Cruz for the next 2 weeks to work for our side to get us out of this mess and putting all the money to him to get us... to stop that nomination. We don't have anybody on our side who's willing to
throw down.
Ted Cruz, as crazy as he is, he throws down without any regard.
But, you know, Cory Booker gave a really great speech about radical love, and Amy Klobuchar definitely talked about her husband. I mean, like,
nobody cares.
Throw down. You know, I just, if you're not throwing down here, I don't know where you're throwing down.
We were looking for our... Represent Texas slogan. I just think we found it. Throw down. That's it.
I'm just a little.
Yeah, me too.
I think it gets confused to a lot of people that throw down means be the most progressive person, and I don't think that's the case. I would support
it's about strategic
a super progressive person who throws down over a mainstream moderate Dem that doesn't. I would support a mainstream moderate Dem that throws down over a radical progressive that doesn't. It's about having a goddamn backbone.
Spine.
So anyways, that's what I've been frustrated with the Amy Coney Barrett thing. I'm just watching Dems.
The very limited what I've watched, I can't watch it because it just looks like we're just getting steamrolled.
Respectfully, Amy Coney Barrett. No, stand up on your desk and then get the police to have to come and escort you.
Be a carny!
You just delayed the proceedings by 2 hours by having the police come in. I'm just saying.
If we get it into fourth or the fifth day next week, we may get COVID. At such a rise right now, we may be shutting the fucking place down.
I'm not saying you act like this on everything that happens. I'm saying you act like this on things that matter this much.
See? Doesn't seem like they're near tough enough on our side.
Oh, I'm sure Schumer's gonna write Mitch McConnell a real strongly worded letter.
Really hurt people.
Let him know how he feels.
Next headline. Hello. Texas Democrats drastically outraised the Republican counterparts in quarter three. Wow. MJ Hager also doubled Senator Cornyn's quarter three fundraising haul. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, so we talked last week about all of the state legislative candidates having their numbers come out. Well, the federal deadlines were actually on the 15th of this month. So we just saw the federal numbers. So the people that are running for Congress and Senate, their numbers came out yesterday. Very similar story of the top 10 congressional races in Texas. Only one of them were outraised by the Republican.
Awesome.
And it was Dan Crenshaw versus Seema Lejivadavada.
Wow. She's great.
The only reason he outraised is because he did that ridiculous movie trailer pack thing where he did all the candidates in one thing.
Yeah. So he lied and cheated.
Yeah. It's smoke and mirrors.
And she's a hell of a fundraiser herself.
So. Yeah, so there's some... So anyways, the Dems are performing extremely well in their fundraising.
Is there a way we could win 10 new seats?
There is a way. Probability would say that's not going to happen. But, you know, if
I'll take 8.
Here's the reality, though.
We haven't placed any bets on this either.
In the last election, they thought we would pick up 1, maybe 2 max. We picked up 2. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's 10 now that we're talking about being able to even win, there should be 1. It should be Gina Ortiz Jones' seat should be the only one that's in the wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Polling is showing we got 10.
I'm going to go with 8.
You think 8?
I think we could get 8.
I'm going to go with...
People come out. We can get 8.
All right, is everybody going to get mad at me if I do my... I'm always more pessimistic than you.
Fine.
I think that we're going to win 4.
Bastard. Get out of here.
That's huge. Winning 4 is huge.
No, winning 8 is huge.
And if we win 4, how many do we need to win to have the majority of the congressional delegation?
So we can control the electoral votes. Yes. I don't know.
If there is a tie, it goes to Congress.
Maybe 6. Maybe 5.
That's how many I want us to win. However many we need to get the majority of the congressional delegation, that's what I want.
See, we should, if we were real journalists, we know this stuff. And I feel bad we're not, but not that bad that I'm going to do anything about it.
I did go to the same school Dan Rather went to.
Wow. I think I went to
the same. Not the same department.
All right. Next headline. COVID cases and hospitalizations are rising again in Texas. Sad news this.
Yeah, back on the spike.
Yeah, it's not good.
And you're seeing it when you're going out and around. It's people are just bored with it.
I know they are, but we really need to, with the flu and everything, I know anecdotally cases, which means that I'm not the only one noticing anecdotal cases, but there's a lot more going on up there, and I just worry that people are letting our guard down.
I had some friends of mine. I had some friends of mine call me younger. I mean, they're in early 40s, and they were thought they had sinus infections, just went and tested. It turns out they had COVID, and they're trying to figure out how do I vote, because I was supposed to.
They closed down the polling location in Lewisville, Texas yesterday because a poll worker had COVID. There's just lots of anecdotal stuff, and I do think that there's some kind of a degree of a chance that this early voting is important for another reason. If it starts getting really numbers get bad, then there's going to be a whole nother round of things that happens before the election. Okay.
Put your masks back on, people.
Put my mask on. Okay. Last headline.
Is it about cornfields? That was the last headline.
And that was Hit the Headline. Back, we'll have the great candidates, the two Angies, one from House District 70, Angie Beto, and Angela Brewer from House District 64 in Denton. And we'll be right back.
Stick around!
Welcome back. We're so excited. We are having Angie Beto on, who's going to be our next legislator, an awesome female legislator from House District 70.
Yay!
Welcome, Angie. Thanks for coming on today.
It's my absolute pleasure to join you both. I've been spending so much time on the phone talking to people, so when I get to the point of you can just edit that out.
Well, we're previous candidates, so we know that when you say talking to people, what you really mean is begging people for money.
It's code, right? You know, today, it's funny you bring that up. This morning, I was thinking as I was getting prepared for the day, I actually spent all morning lit dropping, just because we're not knocking on doors like we would normally, but I'm still lit dropping at every free moment I have. And so I was doing that this morning as I was getting ready. I was thinking about, you know, people think the life of a candidate is all glamorous. And let me tell you, it's begging for money all the time, right? Lit dropping and then getting called names on the phone by people when you're phone banking. It's like, what? What? Wait, what? You don't even know me.
People were so surprised by my language. I'm like, I don't know why you're surprised. You people taught it to me while I was running.
Well, tell people that don't know, your race is, I wouldn't call it a sleeper. You got so much support, but I think people don't recognize the change out in the where you're running. Give us the name of the cities and your little...
So my House District 70 is all of McKinney, which is the Collin County seat, of course, and Prosper, most of Prosper, Salina, Anna, part of Anna, Princeton, Melissa. So we literally have been the heartbeat of the Republican Party for forever, for decades, right? I mean, McKinney used to have a good deal of Blue Dog Democrats here, and you know, but we have been a stronghold for the Republican Party for years. And so when I started calling when I started calling people for money months and months ago, they'd be like, ha ha ha, are you kidding? What chance do you have? So anyway.
Well, tune has quickly changed, and part of that is due to, you know, just demographics and the way the world's working. Another part of that is due to you just being a killer candidate that's running an awesome race on issues that are super impactful. When you're going around your district, you're talking to them about the issues most important to them. What are the top issues people are telling you about?
Well, look, I literally have been talking to voters in my district for a year, all constantly. And so what we're hearing over and over is the issues that are most important to them are public education, health care, and jobs in our economy. And then after that, it's climate, you know, climate change to some degree. Gun safety often comes up. But the top three are definitely public education and healthcare and our jobs and economy, right? And they're pretty close.
Yeah. And in my Senate race, you know, public education was the number one. We spoke about it a lot. I learned a lot about rural public schools. We weren't quite as suburban as you guys are over there. What when you say public schools or public education in a district that's, you know, McKinney-Collin County, what does that mean?
So help me with that question a little bit more. What do you mean?
Like where I was at, everybody was wanting to talk about stopping school vouchers and getting rid of school vouchers. Yes. But for y'all, you know, is it like reducing classroom sizes? Is it cutting back standardized tests? Is it funding? Is it, you know, the way that they proportion school district funding? What is it for you?
So, you know, in summary of, I think, the issues that we face here, I will start by saying this. Do you remember Jim Collins' book, Good to Great?
Yeah.
So the comment is, the famous quote is, the enemy of great is good, right? And so we have really good schools in all of North Texas. I mean, without a doubt, even outside my district, Plano and Richardson, all really good schools. McKinney has great schools. Frisco has great schools. And to the north of us, the school system is good. So that is a really positive thing. What that breeds is lack of awareness because, you know, good creates apathy sometimes. We're just willing to go along with the flow because we don't realize the dire situation that we're in. By that I mean, make no mistake, the future of public education in the state of Texas is on the ballot. Make no mistake. And I am running a lot because of that. That was my number one driving force to get in this race because I have fought for public education and supported public education my entire life. I have worked on bond committees here in McKinney to tirelessly support the public educators and the education system here in our community. And I think the public is unaware because we've been sold a bill of goods. We have been told that we can do better by use of vouchers or building charter schools or giving school choice, right? The school choice is the phrase that is like, oh, well, gosh, you can do better if you're allowed to send your kids to the school that you choose. What they don't realize is what that really means.
Right, right.
One thing that just seems like, I love that you said the state of education is on the ballot. And I think when people think about that, they think they have to get into the weeds about, you know, vouchers, charter, pre-K, universal pre-K, which shouldn't be on, that should be at a national level, and they will. But it really is sort of, we find ourselves in this place right now with this president because of lack of education. An educated society would have never allowed us to find ourselves in this position where half of the country allows this discussion of racism and allows this kind of inequality and puts up with religious, you know, fighting in a way. Those are not educated people. That doesn't mean they're bad people, but this idea of education, I think I've been thinking about it just these last few days. How did we get to where we are at? And it is,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's
education. Made a really good point, Lillian, because I believe that a well-educated populace is foundational to our democratic process. If we aren't educated enough to understand the issues and the understand who is running and what they stand for, we cannot be effective in electing the leadership of our country. And so that undermines our democratic processes right there.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. When you get into the legislature this cycle, what makes me lose sleep about it isn't if the Democrats are going to take the Texas House. I think they are. What makes me lose sleep at night is realizing that the Democrats are going to flip the Texas House, because we are going to take over the Texas House with one of the largest budget shortfalls that we have ever seen in this state. And we've got to find a way to balance that budget constitutionally, while also making sure that we're doing our due diligence on these public school issues. When that sinks in and you start to think about it, what do you believe is the solution? What are the Democrats going to do when we take over to make sure we're not cutting public school funding while also balancing this, what, $6 billion shortfall they're expecting?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? So, you know, I wish I had a magic wand. What I think about is, look, in our own personal budget, we have to prioritize, right? And we, most of us, can't afford to do everything that we want to do out of the gate. And so when I get into the legislature, what I'm going to ask is, what are our priorities? And, you know, I believe education is foundational as a priority, and we need to be looking at, look, here are the things that we need to accomplish, and we had to figure out how to budget the funds and resources. I will say this, I think, you know, Republicans say that we spend, that we Democrats want to spend. The truth is, everybody spends. We have to spend money to make ends meet. But what has happened is that with this tax cap, the property tax cap, right? And on top of that, the last legislative bill on education has compressed the tax rate for school districts. Some fast growth school districts are at a lower compressed rate than the slower growing districts. That being said, that causes a lot of consternation. I know here in McKinney, we're looking at needing to move forward with a TRE, because we're not going to have the ability to fund our schools and teachers particularly like we need to. So I guess to answer your question, I would say two things. We need to really look at diversifying our portfolio so that, just like in our personal lives, we've relied on oil and gas, right? We have been very, we have relied greatly on our tax burden being placed on the citizens, right, to pay for public education. And I would like to see us continue to have the state put more money in. But I think we have to look at some other opportunities, moving some into green energy, for example, which is the fastest growing sector in Texas. It's one of our top 10 job producing industries and economically prosperous industries. So, when people say, oh, we're going to lose all these jobs going into green energy, it's just going to be a shift. And I'm not suggesting we need to step out of oil and gas altogether, but I do think there is room for some diversification.
For sure. I mean, you take that, you mix it with the fact that we have $45 billion in the Texas budget of exemptions,
yes,
you know, for corporations, and yes, to ensure that lobbyists were able to get some circumventing of fees for their clients. You start to scale back some of that to make sure corporations and old companies are actually paying in what everybody else has to pay in. It's not a hard thing to cut. Not a hard thing to do to the conclusion.
Remember when Mike Collier was running against Dan Patrick, and he talked a lot about that. And I think he had some very interesting and very, what's the best word I'd like to use here? Some lucrative opportunity for us to capitalize on corporations and the loopholes.
Recapture that money for us. One thing, your district, I live out in Collin County, also that everything north, that Prosper and Melissa. I mean, that's where the Buc-ee's is in Melissa. So the Buc-ee's. So we have one of your signs up there because you have a lot of signs out there. Growth out there.
And huge those, growth.
And the whole reason people are moving out there is because of the education system.
Yeah.
That's what
they Well, want. It's like I talked to, I had a forum with the retired teachers in our area yesterday, and we were I said to them, look, when corporations or families move to a community, what's the first question they ask?
How the schools.
Which is why every real estate document can't talk about it on the forum. Is how they are. Yeah, no, and those schools are good news.
So pivot just a second. I don't know. Let's talk about who you're running against.
We have to. No.
I want to, because I think it's important for people to know who the players are in different places. And your guy that you're running against is a name that a lot of them don't know, but they may not realize that he is another one of these Empowered Texans guy that just falls in line with everything they tell him to. He's just not as flagrant as the others, right? Let's talk about it. Who is he?
How long has he been in?
We got to get rid of him.
Why do we need to get rid of him?
Oh, Scott Sanford, my opponent, has been in office 8 years. And during those 8 years, his major focus has been on support of discriminatory policies under the guise of religious freedom. So he has been very active in his lack of support, or let me rephrase that. He's actively instituted every opportunity to support and author bills that are discriminatory against LGBTQ community members. It's about religion. For example, last legislative session, and I loved how the Texas Tribune writes about this. They say this: Sanford quietly brought forth a bill that he authored that would have allowed therapists to practice conversion therapy due to religious objections, right? And I mean, that's when I talk to voters about that, they'll say things like, oh, Angie, you had me at the conversion therapy thing. Or, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, so he has spent so much time. And as the Houston Chronicle, I think, put it so succinctly, we have wasted time on bathroom bills and conversion therapy bills and bills that the majority of Texans don't care about, that never comes up when I talk to voters. I have not heard that one time ever in my year of talking to voters. But they evidently have a core base of Empowered Texans. The other thing that my opponent is very clear on is his support of vouchers and school choice. He has voted in favor of that over and over and over. And by that, I mean using public funds to go with the student to a school of their choice. And I find that very unsettling for the future of public education. He has voted against accountability legislation for private schools or charter schools. So the list, I mean, we are pretty much opposites.
Well,
thankfully,
vouchers are one of the absolute worst things you can do for public schools. And like any progressive person would agree with the concept of taking public funds and giving them to private companies completely unfiltered with no transparency and no accountability is not a good plan ever, especially when it's our kids' futures, you know?
Well, and I think people don't realize that we're talking about the creation of two education systems in our state, which literally turns out to be one for the wealthy and one for the rest of us. All of the rest of us, meaning minorities, the children who are more expensive to educate, the kids with disabilities, right? The poor and working class families, we are going to be left with little funding, and the rest will be in a separate system that is funded, you know, because parents in the wealthy class can afford to make up the difference that the rest of us can't, to pay for
Absolutely.
Well, Angie Beto, our public schools would be better off, our legislature would be better off, and Collin County would be much better off if you were elected to serve on November 3rd. If people here wanted to help find a way to follow your campaign, send you money, where would they go to do that?
So many options. They can follow us on Twitter, Angie Beto for Texas. They can follow us on Facebook, Instagram. It's all Angie Beto for Texas. Beto for Texas is our website. They can look up our policies and donate. Of course, donations are always, as I'm always begging for money, I now see my friends start running when I'm walking down the sidewalk. They're like, oh, I don't want to talk to her.
So, you don't feel that way when you're running for office. It's like you walk in a room, anybody here got an extra 20 bucks in their pockets?
Yeah, but people understand.
You guys know what that's like. It's
it's about a muscle memory, and that's what Collin County, because we haven't had as many cycles of great progressive and Democrats running, that, you know, we're having to educate people about donating to these candidates. And I just so applaud you and our whole cohort of good folks, mostly women running in Collin County, that are doing just bang up work.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I would just like to close with saying thank you to all my donors and supporters. We are very, very, very excited, and the momentum is growing, and we see it every day, and the voter turnout is fantastic. If I had my pom-poms, I would be shaking them. But I am very, very grateful and very thankful for all the donations, the dollars, the $5, they all matter greatly. So thanks, you guys.
You know, people would tell me all the time, they're like, you know, I'd love to donate, but I only have $5, $10. And like, to me, when I would get a check for $5 or $10, it meant so much to me, because like, I know that these rich people can write $500,000 checks, whatever, but like somebody writing a $5 check or a $10 check to me was like, I get that you're pulling out of your retirement pension. Like it was so meaningful.
It's also about numbers, and the number of donors, I am certain for you, are much higher than the number of donors for your Empowered Texan friend, because usually their funds come from two or three high net worth individuals that like things like conversion therapy and misogyny policy. Been my experience. I don't know your opponent as well, but we need to get him out. So Angie for House District 70.
Angie Beto, BADO, thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck to you.
Yes.
We are rooting for you, and Absolutely. We cannot wait to go and bombard your office on the first day of the legislative session.
Thank you so much. I'm excited. And thanks you guys for having me. It was my pleasure.
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. We're so excited. We have a fantastic candidate from the area known as Denton County out in North Texas. Mm-hmm. Angela Brewer on with us.
Yay!
It is so good to see you guys. I'm glad to be here with you.
Our whole thing this episode is we're having all the Angies and Angelas on in one episode. So Angie Beto just enlightened us on public schools. We're moving to Angela.
We're not having Angela Paxton on.
No, we're not doing Angela Paxton. Unless she'd like to come on, in which case, I'd love to talk to her.
A question or two comes to mind.
So, okay, you are running in a district that contains Denton, Texas, that houses University of North Texas and Texas Women's University. So people are saying this district, one of the ones that we're about to flip this cycle. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Tell us about your district.
I love my district, so I'm glad that that's our first question we're going to discuss. Denton's actually my hometown. I grew up here and graduated from Denton High School back in 1992, and then graduated from the University of North Texas a couple of times, my undergrad in 97, and then came back for my master's degree in 2007. And now I teach at UNT, and love, love, love my job as a professor. I am just so in love with my hometown because I think it is such a cool place, right? It's very creative. It's an innovative kind of community. People keep trying to call us the suburbs, which I guess technically we might be now, but But we've got that extra college town flavor and a lot of kind of independence and uniqueness, I think, that you don't usually think about when you think about suburbia. Right? And so
it's a great town.
Yeah. It is a really great town. For all of your listeners who haven't made it to visit us yet, you need to come up to Denton, take a day trip, hang out in Denton a little bit.
A student at North Texas or TW voting for Dr. Stuckey. I just can't see it. I'm having trouble seeing it. Can you?
I was going to say something real tacky.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going let's talk about the Dr. Lynn Stuckey, who's a veterinarian and an older gentleman that hasn't really done anything when he was in the ledge. He's been in there. How many stints has he spent?
He's in his third term. So he's finishing up his third term right now. And Lillian, that's really why I decided to run, to be honest. That I think Denton is much too interesting and much too innovative and creative to be represented by someone who's just ho-hum, right? That is just, I always talk about, you know, he kind of puts it on cruise control and just slides right through without really showing leadership, without really being a person who's out on front leading on any issue, as far as I can tell. And I think we can do better than that in this community. That doesn't reflect our values very well. And I want to make that change. I think we need someone who really reflects, you know, problem solving and being creative and bringing all the players to the table and working on real constituent service and visiting with folks and having government that's available and checks in with the people. And that's all the stuff that I want to do.
Okay, I can't control myself. I have to do it. I have no self-control. And I really want to talk about this. We've talked about it in previous episodes. Look, Dr. Stuckey is the guy that was on the board at the camp in Missouri when all of the children were being sexually abused. And then it was back in the news when they reconvened outside of CDC guidelines and a whole bunch of kids ended up getting COVID, okay? So we're not just talking about a humdrum guy. We're talking about a guy who has piss poor oversight and judgment in the projects that he's working on. In COVID response in his own community, have you seen Dr. Stuckey present at all, or is he having the same disregard in his own community that he did with those kids in Missouri?
You know he's an animal doctor, right?
Well, you know.
He's a veterinarian.
I'm just saying. I've even heard stories about him putting people's dogs down when they weren't supposed to have the dogs put down.
I thought you were really going twisted.
No, I could go off. I don't have a lot of self-control. But the question stands, Angela Brewer. How has his response on COVID been in your community?
He has pretty much been missing in action. The same that he is in most situations, it seems, that he's just not very present. He's not being proactive at all and hardly even reactive. Very early in the pandemic, I was concerned about the state-supported living center. So we call it the Denton State School here in town. The Denton State School is the largest of the state schools across the state. So there are 13 in the state of Texas. We have the biggest one here in Denton, and it's actually the facility.
Sorry for people.
It is for folks who have either intellectual disabilities or physical disabilities who don't have the opportunity for care anywhere else. And we put them into state-supported living centers, kind of like nursing homes, but here, at our state school facility, it's a huge campus. And so residents are actually in home units. And so there are just, you know, six or eight people living per house, and they have dedicated staff for each home. And it's a more home-like atmosphere than maybe a more institutionalized setting like a nursing home would be. And these are facilities that are completely supported by the state of Texas. Our state school here in Denton actually supports all of the medically fragile patients for the state school system. So anyone in the state of Texas who needed this kind of help and care that was coming into the state school system, if they're considered medically fragile, they would be put here in Denton. So our state school serves about 650 residents and has about 1,500 employees out there. And as you know, as is true in nursing homes and prisons and other kind of institutional settings where there are a lot of folks living close together who have staff coming in and out. These have been hotspots for COVID transmission. And that was no different in our state school here in Denton. Very early in the pandemic, there was an outbreak at our state school, and I'm just waiting, right? I'm like, where is Representative Stuckey? Where is Senator Nelson? You know, where are our representatives to come in here and try and do something to support the state school in their efforts to take care of their residents well, and also to support their staff well? And you know, this is one of the biggest employers in our community, and the work that these folks are doing is just critical work, and we can't leave them hanging with no PPE or leave them hanging without paid sick days. They weren't even sure that if they were feeling ill, if they could skip coming to work early on. And this is just, it is unacceptable to me that our representation was missing from this. It was left to our county government, actually. Our county judge was the one who took the lead, and our county commissioners were the one who took the lead to work with our public health department to partner with the state school in their response and to get some field hospitals set up out there. So they didn't want to try and transfer patients out of the state school into local hospitals, because it's really very hard on the residents there for them to have to change their setting like that. And so they were wanting to do care in place. And it was really our county government that stood up and worked with the state school to make that happen. And kind of following the day by day as it was happening, I was just so outraged that we have this very vulnerable community here that we've been entrusted with their care. Like, I feel like we've been entrusted with the care of these 650 residents out there. And that's something that, you know, Denton takes some pride in. And the fact that the folks in our state government who should have been working on this didn't just blows my mind to this day. I can't believe that they stepped away from their responsibility that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just shocking. And I think we've learned that throughout this particular pandemic, that, you know, our local leaders have most part have stepped up to lead. Right. Whereas we've learned that these legislators that we've had are so used to people not paying attention, not caring, that they have done nothing in the realm of constituent services help their people. And I'm not just talking about Republicans.
It's weird that they've abdicated that's their responsibility, but it's all of a sudden they got tough and it's like, whoa, I'm out. I mean, that's why they're there.
You see the newly elected ones doing the really great work, right? Because, you know, right, they are new people to the fold, but have never known a legislature that's so lackadaisical.
Right. Yeah, you see a Tallarico or a Julie Johnson or Anna Marie Ramos or Michelle Beckley or gal over in Irving, Terry Mason. They've done amazing constituency services during this period. The Republicans are like, where do I find my shoes? that's a really good point. Yeah, and the state school piece was so upsetting to so many of us that know that place forever. It's just, that's a tragedy.
You know, a lot of folks talk about the governor's response, and there's a lot of focus on Governor Abbott and the ways that he's failed and his response to COVID. And I'm like, we don't need to just stop at the top there. Let's take it down to the state legislature, because all of these folks are elected to leadership roles in our communities. And this is a time for leaders to lead. And they've just abdicated it. They've just completely stepped away and said, we'll let the county judge handle it. We'll let the county commissioners handle it. We'll put it onto the city council. The city council? Come on, y'all. Like, we need our leaders to step up and lead. And when we hit these, I mean, we need it all the time, right? But certainly when we hit these really trying times and times where we need a rapid and smart response from government, it is not the time for leaders to check out. And that's what it has definitely felt like in this community, in this House district with our incumbent.
So you are in the top 17 that everyone keeps talking about, the 17 districts that were within 10 points in 2018, but you're actually towards the top portion of that top 17. Where does your district rank in the state with closeness?
Yeah, so we're definitely in that top 9 because we are one of the districts where Beto won in 2018, but the Republican incumbent held on to his seat. Our Democratic challenger here in 2018 did a really great job. He didn't have much money to run a campaign on, so it was very much a grassroots knock on every door they could knock on, But there certainly wasn't any kind of money for sending out mail or, you know, trying to contact voters through any other means other than social media and direct voter contact at the door and on the phone. So he ran a very true grassroots campaign, and he pulled 44.5% of the vote, which is fantastic, on in total $40,000 budget that he ran on. So he did really good work for us here, kind of laying the groundwork to show the potential for Denton County, and specifically to show the potential here in House District 64. In addition to that, since then, we've registered about 11,000 new voters in this district. I haven't seen the total number since the new deadline. I think we're probably up a little bit more than that. Of those voters who voted in the primary this year, 7 out of 10 of them voted in the Democratic primary. So I think this voter registration is going heavy in our direction. So we know we're pretty confident that those folks who just registered since 2018 are going to be supporting us. But we're still working on it, right? So we're taking nothing for granted. We're making sure we work every vote and talk to every person we can talk to and get them out to vote. So
we've seen your finance reports, and we know you are not running on $40,000. So congratulations on
all that you
were able to raise in that district.
It's not easy.
Thank you.
If more people wanted to donate to you and your campaign or follow the work that you're doing in the district, where could they go to do that?
Yeah, so our website is angelafortexas.com, all spelled out, FORTEXAS, Angela for Texas. And that's awesome. My Twitter handle, and that's where you'll find me on Facebook and Instagram, is just at Angela for Texas. We love our supporters. Come on along. We are doing phone banking right now. We're doing lit drops right now. That's kind of our two big volunteer opportunities. That's what's left, right? That's where we have arrived at this point, and that is what's left.
What are you seeing at the early, when you, like, do you ever drive by the polls during early voting just to see in person? I'm not running, but I just do it, just because I'm like, those are our people. How's it looking out there?
So we've done a little bit of poll greeting. I don't stand out at the polls a lot, but kind of try and hit the rush hour times, like the lunchtime and the after work window, to smile at people and wave. And good, steady crowds. Folks are determined, right? That's maybe the number one emotion I see and hear, is there's just a lot of determination to go in and get the vote cast and get this thing done. I actually ran into my opponent out at the polls on the first day of early voting. He was out greeting voters too. And he and I have never met in person, actually. That was the first time we've ever met in person. And I was gonna go and say hello to him, but he wasn't wearing a mask. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to approach him, right, without his mask on. And so I didn't. And he eventually came over and said hi to me. But he kept a good distance. I mean, he stood at least 10 feet away. So he was respectful and very polite. And so we saw him out there. And we saw lots of our voters.
Just keep him at least 10 feet away.
No, I think it's a little bit irresponsible not to wear a mask.
A little.
Well, and we have... I mean, here in Denton, we've had in the last few days a county commissioner and our county judge test positive for COVID-19 after appearing at a candidate forum in Flower Mound. And had a polling site, one of the early polling sites in Lewisville, closed yesterday because one of the poll workers tested positive. And so they closed the site yesterday to do a deep clean and reopen it today. One of the sites here in Denton is in a library, and one of the librarians has tested positive. And so they didn't close the polling site because it's in a meeting space just before you get into the library proper. But they closed down the library today. But the polling site's still open.
Good. You know what I also think is great for you to be elected is you have such a pulse on that university and how you feel about students, and you'll get the best interns because you have all this access as a professor. Your office will be rocking and rolling because your office and for constituent services, if you get good interns in there helping me and you've got access to them, it's going to be great.
Well, I mean, that's kind of one of the unspoken things talking about higher ed in Texas, that, you know, our schools, not only our like kind of K through 12 schools, but our higher ed institutions used to be the best in the country. But what we saw is that as a lot of these areas that are held by Republican reps started getting held by Republican reps instead of Democratic reps, those universities no longer had advocates for higher education at the legislature, whether that was A&M or Lubbock or UNT or Huntsville at Sam Houston State or Nacogdoches at SFA, that they had had Democratic reps that were able to advocate for those institutions. Republicans just don't believe in higher ed.
They believe in something, but that
they think it's totally fine that we shift this burden onto students, right? The, make students pay for it. They can take out loans, go ahead and saddle them with $40,000 and $50,000 worth of debt to start their careers with. It is the dumbest long-term planning for the economy that exists, right? Of course you invest in education, K through 12. Of course you invest in higher education, because this is where we build our economy. We build our economy through education, period. Like, that's it.
Angela Brewer, we are tickled to have you on Pod Bless Texas today. Thank you so much for joining us. But you don't get to leave yet, because before you go, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsessed. We're talking about what news story from the week, whether it's politics or wasn't, that we'd be completely obsessed with. And as always in this segment, we start with Lillian Salerno. Lillian, what's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
Well, I'm going to tell you about my this week. Right now, I was obsessed. I thought maybe you were going to put your hand in the cactus.
I have been very aware of the cactus right next to us.
I'm going
to
laugh.
I don't
so
want
hard.
A Looney Tunes situation with the cactus.
That would be so funny. All right, Betsy DeVos was in Dallas yesterday, and I normally, I don't speak a lot about education because my partner always does, but I have very strong feelings about it, and I have very strong feelings about Betsy DeVos not being qualified for that job. But one thing during this pandemic, when I see these young families, got lots of young people in my life, and what they're being faced with, educating their kids at home, not feeling like they're doing enough, working a job, not having certainty when they do drop their kids off that it's safe, kids coming back home, infecting family. I mean, it is a nightmare out there. And the fact that she came to Dallas, Texas, and didn't really address COVID, it's just a shock. And just so really representative of this Trump administration, where the big thing in the room is never addressed. And the Secretary of Education to come and talk about charter schools and this and that, and not talk about the 500-pound gorilla in the room, is that families are suffering, kids are suffering. Education and schools are some of the only places lots of kids ever feel safe, and we don't have a way to get these kids safe. And it's just appalling. And we have got to take back power and make sure our kids are safe. And that will require the Biden administration to do a whole heck of a lot of work. That's my obsessed.
Get obsessed.
Sorry, it's sort of depressing.
Well, it's kind of weird that Betsy DeVos was even in town, because nobody even talked about it. Like, no one was, like, it's weird because in any other administration where you have like competent, qualified people in offices, it's like, oh, great, what an honor that they came to our community. But like, Betsy DeVos comes to town, I was like, can we just not tell people?
I mean, she literally, I don't think anyone from the major school districts even met with her. I think she had to go way offline.
Because she's a monster.
So that
good
was
obsessed. Good obsessed, Lillian Salerno. Angela Brewer, Democratic nominee in House District 64. What's something this week that you've been completely obsessed with?
So this week, I am obsessed with early voting. I'm obsessed with everything about early voting. Like, not just our turnout numbers, which have been through the roof in Denton County. We're turning out voters like crazy right now, so I'm obsessed with that. But I'm just completely obsessed with the fact that this is the one thing I feel like we do for voters in Texas to make things a little bit easier for them. I think our state does so much to suppress voters, and early voting is that one thing we do that makes things easier for voters, and I'm just obsessed with the opportunity that folks have to get out there and have their voices heard and do it in a time that works better for their schedule. And to be able to go this weekend, for example, like folks can vote on Sunday from 11 to 4. That's fantastic. Sunday afternoon's easier for you, or a Saturday morning might be easier for folks who are doing that heavy lift that Lillian's talking about, where you're having to manage your work and your child's education and still keeping your house running and all of those things at the same time. I'm just obsessed with early voting and how easy it makes it for Texas voters to get out and vote.
Me too. Good obsessed.
Well, I mean, the numbers have just been up all over the entire state. I mean, it's just been ridiculous, like how high those numbers are. Do you think, Angela Brewer, Democratic nominee in House District 64, that those numbers are indicative of a huge turnout, or is it indicative of people that are just going to drag themselves across broken glass to vote?
I think it's both. That's, or maybe I hope it's both. Maybe I don't know that I think that. Maybe that's what I'm wishing that it is. I think they're just being out at the polls in those first couple of days and just seeing, I mean, this is certainly not scientific sampling at all, but at the polling sites I was at, seeing who's there to vote, this was overwhelmingly younger people, overwhelmingly more people of color than I expected to see out. A more diverse voting group. I had a friend who was voting in Travis County. He told me he was in line with just hundreds of people who were in scrubs. He said it must have been an organized effort of essential healthcare workers turning out to vote in their scrubs, just to show that these sort of frontline essential workers are out there casting their vote, understanding that we don't only make a difference in the work that we do in our day-to-day, but we have to do it on the policy side by casting our vote too and making sure we get the right officials in. So I'm hoping, I guess, I'm optimistically, cautiously hopeful that this is both of those things, Kendall, that it's going to be a very high turnout overall, and that it is the enthusiasm of some folks who are like, I just can't bear it anymore.
I'll tell you,
My brother voted that first day, and he tweeted it, of course, because that's what you do. He tweeted it. He says, I've been waiting for this for 1,435 days.
I'll tell you, whenever I went to go and vote, anecdotal evidence, I mean, there were probably 50 people in line, probably 45 of them below the age of 40. And it was just, that never happens. Like, I'm always the youngest one in the room. I'm getting older every day, but still seem to be the youngest. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I hope that trend holds. I really do.
It'll change our state and change our nation.
Good obsessed, Angela Brewer. Good obsessed. My obsessed this week has been this weird town hall face-off that has happened between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. For those who haven't been following it, Donald Trump refused to have a presidential debate unless he was able to infect Joe Biden with coronavirus. Which I think some people said was a bit of an unreasonable debate negotiation request. So as a result, they didn't have it. And so Joe Biden ended up with a town hall. MSNBC did a dueling competing town hall where Joe Biden, by the way, had much more viewership than Donald Trump. There's a lot of stuff to unpack and talk about with it. I think the big discussions is how great it was that Donald Trump didn't have the highest viewership. Also, how wonderful it was that Joe Biden stayed around and answered every person's question, even when it went off air. You know, we want to talk about stamina for a second. Whereas Donald Trump took his toys and went home as soon as the cameras went off. But what I've been completely obsessed with was Savannah Guthrie at Donald Trump's forum. I think she did a fantastic job holding that guy to the fire. A lot of people are chalking it up to MSNBC being mean to the guy. I chalked it up to her being the first forum person that actually held the guy to the things he was supposed to ask. One thing that stood out the most in my head, probably because of timing, we're getting a little close to Thanksgiving, was that he had retweeted something, a conspiracy theory that I had never heard about until the forum, that Joe Biden, what was it? It was that Joe Biden had intentionally falsified
Delaware State.
No. God, it's my obsession. I can't even think about it. It was some crazy conspiracy theories about Joe Biden that was retweeted by the President of the United States. And
as she was pushing him on it, he said, well, I don't know if it's true. That's up for y'all to decide. I'm just here giving you the information. If the news did their job, I wouldn't have to retweet these things. She said, well, most people would acknowledge that they're conspiracy theories. And he would just, you know, kept going on. And then she said the line that I've been stuck with, which is, you're not someone's crazy uncle. You're the president of the United States. And you don't just get to tweet crazy shit like that. And I've been completely obsessed with it because everyone's been wanting to say that to him forever. I also have been getting trolled by my own crazy uncle on social media lately. And so it hit me to my core. That's why I've been completely obsessed.
I love that. I didn't know she said that. That's awesome.
Man, I wish I could think about what it was. As we wrap the episode up, I'm going to frivolously try to figure out what it is so I can come back to it. But I mean, it was just one of those bonkers conspiracy.
I didn't get to watch it.
I saw Mary Trump retweeted it and said, well, actually. I thought it was perfect. That was a perfect retweet.
That is so funny.
So we have to make sure that you win. People need to send more money. People need to call in and be part of the fun.
Here it is. I'm sorry. I found out what it was. It's crazy. It's crazy. He retweeted a series of bizarre ideas that Osama bin Laden didn't actually get killed and that Joe Biden falsified SEAL Team 6 and then had them all killed, so that they couldn't tell people about Osama bin Laden really still being alive.
He made that up, or he's
that was what he was retweeting on social media. The president.
Okay, so, is that a QAnon? Is that one of the QAnon? Yes. I don't know.
Wow. Anyway, one of those. Fast, da, 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 da.
That's a lot. Now I know I didn't watch it. Okay. Excited about your race, and we just have 18 more days, 17 more days, and want to celebrate your victory. And in order to get there, people need to donate money at AngelaBrewer4Texas.com.
Spelled out four. I like your style.
Yeah, we like this four kind. And also, they can volunteer to do phone banks, lit drops, poll greet. Just get on the website and volunteer, people.
We need people on the phone. That's the whole game right now, is that telephone. And I know it's not glamorous or glorious by any means to do phone banking, but man, it works.
Well, so, as glamorous as the other jobs you get to do as a candidate, right?
Yeah, I've been waiting for those. Y'all know when that pops up. Y'all run before. When do those glamorous jobs pop up?
I'm still waiting too. No. Angela Brewer, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and join us. And if people wanted to follow you, Lillian, on social media, where would they go to make that happen?
Follow me through Pie Bless Texas or Lillian_Salerno, where I have a very little Twitter presence. But when I come hard on the Twitter presence.
If people wanted to follow me, they can follow me on Twitter at Kendall Skyer, Facebook, Instagram.
You're deleting that.
All of those phrases at Kendall Scudder. You can follow us on PodBless at PodBless Texas on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Go find us in your podcast order on Spotify. Give us the 5-star, all of that good stuff.
So happy for you, Angela. Win, win, win.
Thanks, guys.
Have a blessed week and vote.
Bye. What an abrupt end this year.
We just
it's been a rough week, guys. We'll try to get a special episode. It's a whole thing.